Hey, Quinn.
What up, though?
Don't do that again.
It's Black History Month. You can't tell me not to do anything this month.
Sorry, I won't tell you what to do again. Not for the next four days, at least.
At least the next 4 days. It should be longer than that, but at least.
Well, no, because then that's when Donnie Appreciation Month starts. So then I can do whatever the fuck I want.
What's going on, Donnie?
You're ignoring that?
I have nothing to say. I mean, it's Donnie Appreciation Month. I haven't fought it all this time. Why am I going to fight it now?
That's a beautiful thing. Not too much. I'm scared.
Because we're in World War III.
Well, unquote. Don't say that, but yes. Yeah.
It's crazy, like, to wake up to that. Actually, I went to sleep to that because I saw it last night. So I knew what was going to happen. But, you know. Russia's been asking for it since they killed Apollo Creed.
Yeah, I'm not. You're a comedian. I'm not ready to joke yet.
Well, they say comedy equals tragedy and distance from the situation, but maybe it's hitting a little different for me.
Probably. I'm afraid of everything. Remember when I was afraid of the firecrackers?
Pandemic?
Well, the firecrackers during the pandemic?
Uh-huh. You thought it was some kind of plan?
I still don't think I was wrong.
Well, it turned out that people were just buying illegal fireworks. That was actually
from the police. Out. Yeah. Police vans were just giving them to kids in low-income neighborhoods. Don't get me started down this travel vlog again.
Police always do really, really corrupt stuff. I mean, the best drugs I've ever had, I bought from cops.
Oh, so Christ.
Everybody knows that.
I didn't, actually.
I mean, there's really nothing to say to make you feel any better, to make anybody else feel any better. It's just, you know, we have to wait and see. I mean, to go from a pandemic right into like some kind of a conflict is just like, can we get a break? Like, can we? And now we have all those assholes who were crazy during the pandemic coming back now as experts on war in Europe. I can't take it. I refuse to do it. Like, we're supposed to like be in a situation where we like come together for like some kind of conflict or war, and I don't even want to like go to Denny's with these people. Like, we haven't even mended the fences from the elections.
Well, the good news is the people we want to stay away from probably do go to Denny's, so as long as we stay out of those and like the Waffle House, we should be okay. We'll go to Olive Garden.
Don't sleep on Denny's. Denny's is good too.
Don't make me tell my story about the waitress at Denny's that licked the knife.
I don't think I've heard that story. And you don't have many stories I haven't heard.
There was a waitress when I was in college. There was a waitress at Denny's that cut. Me and my friend both ordered pie. I saw the waitress in the little pantry thing. She cut a slice of pie, licked the knife, and then cut the other slice. But because I'm obese, I still ate the piece that came to me.
That is disgusting.
I can't believe you did that. Only the middle part. I didn't touch the edge. But
you should have told her you saw her lick the knife.
I clearly don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm nervous. I can't sleep during the night. I can only sleep during the day. That can't be a good sign. So let's just bring out our guests and talk about housewives.
That sounds fun to me. That's how we got through the pandemic. I guess that's how we'll get through this.
Until they cut the Wi-Fi. Dead ass.
You know what?
Okay. All right, we are back, and we are here with Diana Gebbia, the host of Believe in Bravo Besties podcast. Hey.
Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, my God. Of course. I'm excited.
You guys were like my first podcast guest, like back when I had my podcast before Believe.
I remember. So like,
this is a full circle moment.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Welcome back. You.
I love talking.
Well, yeah, because. Boy, she came on before when we only
were. Yeah, you were on ours, right?
No, no, I was on Donnie's when you did
Truly Anything.
Oh, the call. Yes, that's it. We did the Real World. God.
Yes.
Yeah, so welcome to know your that. First Know That appearance.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
So the past few weeks, we have been doing one episode of Housewives per episode of Know That. But I was like, I was stressed out. So we're going to cover Salt Lake City and New Jersey today. And we said, who better than you, than our Bravo bestie?
I love you.
I love you. That's why you're here. So let's talk about Salt Lake City first. Not too much happened this episode until the party, but I still want to try to talk about what happened in the beginning of the episode a little bit. We don't need to deep dive into like everything. Not into Mary playing golf with her son. Yeah.
You mean that wasn't the most exciting thing you've ever seen? Come on.
Right, for money. It was like $100. I'm like, whoa.
Right. And then they didn't even really show us. Did they show us if she got it? I feel like if there's money on the line, we should know the outcome.
She did not get the shot.
All right. I know, but still, it wasn't that riveting. Right. No, a lot of this episode was not. For it to be a finale of a long season, no less, yeah. I feel like this was the least exciting episode we've gotten.
Yeah, it was slow, like you said, until the party, and then it was like boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
Then they were like, oh shit, we do have to work this week.
Literally.
it was very like the little memorial for Heather's father, which was like, you know, nice, but also like another reminder that her siblings don't like her because she was so pro Mormonism. So it's just like, how many times do we have to show how bad of a sibling you were? So now you didn't make your father happy. You also pissed off all of your siblings to the point where they don't really talk to you. And now there's like six people at this memorial. You could have done this at home.
Yeah. And then, especially because the father's been dead a long time. So like, I feel like they whipped out this memorial for a plot line. I mean, clearly not, because the mom showed up. But even that could have been
that could have been
the drama of the episode. But she was like, I'm not signing these release papers. You're not going to shut my face. She was like Danny's boyfriend on Real World New Orleans. She's like, I will be blurry. No one's going to fucking see me.
Yeah, that was depressing almost in a way, because like I get the whole like premise that like she's kind of the black sheep of the family, but like it's almost dark to see just how rejected she is. And like at the end of the day, this is an event for a deceased family member. So it's like you maybe couldn't put it aside. Like I get maybe if there wasn't cameras involved, it would be a different story. But like cameras aside, y'all couldn't put your differences aside for the dead.
No, I don't think they could. And it's like, it seems to me that like Heather is playing this whole, I'm the black sheep of the family, but she was like the cheerleader for Mormonism before that. And then once her marriage ended, then she decided to become the black sheep. So it doesn't really seem genuine. So I'm pretty sure that's another reason why her siblings are like mad, because her sister what did she have, cancer, and she didn't even like reach out to her?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or something like, it seemed like her sister was like probably the original black sheep.
Do you think there's a lot more to this Heather storyline, storyline as far as the Mormonism goes, that we don't know about?
Mm-hmm. Yes, because I feel like she changes, not her opinion of Mormonism, but like the narrative she's giving us about it. Like, mm-hmm. I have to sit and really think, like, what does Heather feel about Mormonism? Because I feel like we know she dropped out or whatever, she's no longer Mormon, but at some point she has nothing but positive things to say. So like, why did you change your life then?
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely interesting. And that's a storyline I was hoping that we would see more of when the show first came out, because obviously Utah is like so Mormon heavy. And I don't know if you guys ever watched the show Escaping Mormonism. I think it was on A&E. I watched it, binge watched it one summer. It's great. So I really thought we were going to get more storylines than that. And then to kind of get like the half-assed version of Heather's battle with Mormonism, you know what I mean? It's just disappointing in a way. Like, I feel like we're left wanting more.
Yeah, I thought she was going to be like the Leah Remini of Mormonism, but she
That's a really good way to put it.
Yeah.
Because if Leah Remini can do that with Scientology in the middle of Hollywood, she can do it in Utah.
Yeah.
I'm very confused with Heather. And then later at the party, we'll get to this, but she was like telling Jenny, like, chase Mary. And I feel like between her storyline and the group dynamics, I feel like Heather's trying to do a lot of like self-producing.
That's a really good point.
I don't know. Who knows what we'll get from her next year? Who knows what we'll get from the show next year? Because with Mary gone, Jenny gone, and if Jen goes to jail, it doesn't really leave like a strong group.
Even if Jen only goes to jail and does like a Teresa drop in the bucket, she's still going to be gone for at least a season or two. So there's no way she's going to get out of this without incarceration. I don't see any way that could possibly happen. So they're in a bad spot because Whitney and Heather can't do this. And I don't know, like, even before, like, let's say I didn't even know what was going on with Jenny with this episode. Let's say we didn't know that she was a piece of shit and all of that, and this episode just aired. I kind of be done with Jenny too anyway. Because, like, yeah, she also is somebody who doesn't know how to argue. Like, I hate housewives who don't understand this isn't real life. You can't argue the way you argue in real life. You're doing too much. But I love how Mary just got her there because Mary would not. She paid her dust and she just couldn't make Mary care. And it's just, that was just great TV, but it wasn't great because of Jenny. It was great despite her. It's not a good cast now.
And I agree about Jenny during that fight because Housewives is about conflict and then resolution. And Whitney was trying the resolution part of her, like, season-long fight with Mary. And Mary was, in the beginning, she was like, you smell like alcohol. I can smell sin on your breath. Whatever. But when she got past that, then they were, like, really, I feel like, going places with the conversation. And then Jenny didn't let them. So we never even got resolution from the Whitney storyline.
Yeah, and now we're not going to get any resolution because Mary wouldn't be at the reunion.
Mary's gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she knew she wasn't going either. She left knowing she wasn't going.
Yeah, and
yeah, because, like, Mary, like, I don't feel like Mary ever got a chance to, like, really, this probably sounds funny, but open up either. Like, I don't even think we got the chance to really, she was always on defense and we never got past it. She had, like, two settings. She had, I'm ignoring you and, like, Carrie's mother. So it was just, like, straight judgment and, you know, you're drinking, I can see your dirty pillows, that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
I mean, I knew, I don't know, I'm gonna miss that blazer and skirt combo.
Speaking of the cast, because I know we were kind of like, where's the future of the show going for a minute? Whatever happened to Angie? Because I feel like she was a big deal for, like, three whole episodes and then immediately fell off the face of the earth.
What was the last episode we saw with her? Was it that fight where Whitney came in the room at that party?
It was either that or when she was drunk at that baby shower that Heather gave for her employees and she, like, fell out of the chair.
Yeah.
I can't remember which one. But they probably should have tried to put her more into the cast.
I agree, because then that would have been an easy way of, like, all right, if we have all these cast members missing next season, that's someone who's a familiar face who has caused significant drama that we could easily integrate into next season.
Right.
And somebody that is possible to film with other people when they're all in conflict, because she's kind of, she doesn't have any real irons in the fire here, besides the whole thing with Lisa. So, like, she would have been somebody, a safe thing for Mary, a safe person for Mary to film with, so to speak.
Does Lisa have anyone safe at all? It was Jenny, but now it's not even, it's nobody, right?
It's not Jenny. It's not Jenna. It's not Jennifer.
Definitely not Meredith.
No.
Not Meredith.
It's not Whitney.
Not Meredith.
No.
It's not Whitney. It's not Heather.
Yeah, so I guess we need a Lisa friend then next year.
Yeah.
But that's what we got before, and that didn't work out. And then that's what Angie was also supposed to be. So we don't need any more Lisa friends because they don't work out.
A villain is born.
We need somebody else's friend.
Yeah.
We need, like, a, I don't know, God, I don't want to go anywhere near Whitney or Heather because that's just more Mormon people. A Jen Shaw friend would have been nice. But then again, I don't know if they'll be willing to add anybody of color to the cast other than what they have.
Well, the group scenes I've seen are only the people that are on the show now. Like, they've been filming, and all the, like, footage I've seen of, like, fans doing paparazzi shoots, there's no new housewives. So I don't know if they're just not in those scenes or if they just don't care to replace anybody. But that's odd.
That's a real odd move to make. I've seen Bravo do crazier. Look what they did with Dallas.
Oh, my God. That was a hot mess.
They will run a show into the ground making bad decisions. And they don't seem to learn from their mistakes. I don't get it.
I don't think they
do. It's like a bad ex.
Yeah.
You want them to get it together, but they never will. They never will.
It's like that meme where it's, like, now on sale and it went from, like, $10 to $9.99. And it's like when he says he's changed.
I do want, before we dive into the party more, I do want to talk a little bit about the Meredith Marks photo shoot in the, What was it? It wasn't a desert because it was all ice. What do you call that?
Utah.
It looked, that show, that shoe looked like a mixture between like the Shania Twain that don't impress me much and like the Creep video. It was like somebody merged both of those things together. They had those cheap, hot looking, non-breathing looking outfits. They came in those crazy neon candy colors.
And then, when they changed out of those, they wore matching like t-shirts and hoodies that said LGBT rights. I'm engaging. But it was like written in Comic Sans. It looked like it was from an Etsy shop.
It's giving it's great so value, weird. Lisa Vanderpump.
It's so weird. It's like, why are you doing this for Glad? I thought your son wasn't gay. Get out of my face.
No, he is gay now, isn't he? He came out or something. I mean, he wore eyeliner in that photo shoot.
Well, that doesn't mean anything nowadays.
Oh, that's true. He could.
Have
just
you ever heard of Panic at the Disco?
That's true.
that means nothing.
Yeah, the euphoria set. But Meredith Marks is big on gender equality or like non-gender roles because she said she's not having a men's line of jewelry. Her jewelry's for everybody. But then it cuts to these like clear pieces of jewelry for women. Like, yeah. And I'm pretty gay. And I just tweeted today that I think I need to go into my nail polish era. So like, I'm fine with trying like, you know, gender neutral styles, but these accent pieces on their necks were like people, old ladies on the Titanic would wear. This is not unisex jewelry.
That's like if Macy's was like, you walk into the women's department and they're like, women's, but in parentheses, but our clothing's for everyone. Like, okay, yeah, it's assumed everyone can wear what they want, but you can't take something obviously branded for one gender and just be like, but anyone can wear it.
Yeah, you can't do that. And then she also killed me with that whole like, until nobody needs labels, nobody, we're not all equal. I'm like, I hate when white people say that. I can point out the fact that I am queer. I can point out the fact that I am Black. That does not mean that there is no, I shouldn't get equality. Like, stop it. Like, you not wanting me to have a label is your way of labeling me, lady.
Yeah, you have a point.
Woof.
Well, she's engaging, so now's the time to talk to her about it, because she wore that sweatshirt saying she's open to a conversation.
Look, I left Facebook because I refuse to have conversations like that with women her age. I'm not doing it with her.
She's like the equivalent of the Annalyn McCord Twitter thing today.
I can't. With,
if I was your mom.
That is just too much.
A white man can kill all those people and do all of that evil. And some woman writes a poem about how she wishes she was his mother. I don't understand this shit. I don't get it. But it's also why I don't like going to open mics. Well,
she needed to go to an open mic because she should have tested that out. She had 2 minutes and 20 seconds on Twitter to get a whole poem out, and she still got cut off at the end. That means you need to put it on Instagram where there's
the no first problem. Rule of comedy is you don't go over your time.
She did. She got cut off in the middle of the line. I need to know how this poem ends.
Because that was straight comedy. That was straight comedy. God. I wish I should have did a reaction video. Up here. Oh my
God. No, you should. There's still time, Quinn. You should.
It hasn't even been 12 hours.
I don't have the strength.
Okay.
I don't have the strength to discuss what I found wrong about that. I don't understand how I go out driving or do something, put me under the jail death penalty. White man does something bad. Poor baby. He should have been loved. You give her enough McCord, she'll hang herself.
My favorite part is when she said, Mother Russia is hurting tonight, but I wish you could call me mother. I said, Annalyn,
I never got
please.
That far.
You know, can we talk about she completely overestimated her mothering ability? I mean, God, how good of a mother do you think you are?
Oh my God.
Did you see the response? Some guy was like, if I was your husband and I saw you making this video, I would tell you, hey, maybe don't post that.
No, I did not see that.
That's really funny.
Or if I were her PR agent, I would tell her to take it down.
Yeah. Thomas has never seen such a mess in his entire life.
But I hope she's not canceled for it, because who's going to be in my lifetime Christmas movies if she is?
They'll just have to all be set in Belarus.
Oh my God.
She'll turn the baby Antichrist into the baby Jesus.
Oh my God, my face hurts from laughing so much.
I could talk about this for the rest of the episode, but since we're on the topic of cringy white women, let's talk about Whitney's seduction scene. So last week I talked about how I like that Jackie, and like this week's scene with Jackie in New Jersey, I really appreciate and like understand what she's doing. But last week I felt like the approach, it didn't seem genuine because it was like clearly on a call sheet. Like, here's where I talk about my eating disorder. And like, it seemed like she was doing it for TV. And that, that is 1000% how I feel about this seduction scene. Like, Justin came home, was so uncomfortable. Whitney straddles him, gets naked, covers herself in mud, and then gets spanked. Like, what's our next step here? What if he did want to?
I don't understand that. What in the Honeymooners, Flintstone, Family Guy, Simpsons love situation is this? She looks like that. He comes home. It almost is like he came from like some kind of like portal through time. He looked like a man from the 50s who just came home. It was so like, what is this? And then for his reaction to it was just like, oh, what's this? Like, she's literally like ass out, titties out, everything's out. I told Donnie, I was like, if we were doing this show and I came home and you were like that, I would literally, it would be literally like, cut the cameras, dead ass. Like, what are we doing here? Get these people out of here.
Yeah, that's one thing I brought up. So I did a reel about this on my page, and I was like, for those of you who don't realize it, there's a whole ass camera room, like camera crew in your bedroom. You are mic'd up. So even if you wanted to get it on afterwards, you'd have to wait till it's like, all right, pack up the boom mic and like turn off all your handheld mics, take down the lights. Have a good night, Jimmy. What are we doing for lunch tomorrow? Okay, see you at 4:30. Like, no one had sex that night.
No.
Not a soul was laid.
Not a soul was laid. That was the most unsexy thing I have ever seen. And I watched my grandmother twerk once.
Was she good?
She was good. She had been doing it for like 50 years. Twerking is not new. They was doing that shit in the 40s. But hell still. Yeah.
But how old was she when she did it? Did she hurt herself?
She did not hurt herself. It was very cool. It was like cute, like the grandmother from Soul Food. It was a family function. She decided to get out there because twerking also isn't new in our generation either.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this is like back in like, what, 1999, 2000. Mm-hmm. She got out there, shook a little something, disturbed everybody, and then went and sat down.
You know what was shocking to me? When on Ultimate Girls Trip, and that was like 4 months ago at this point, but when they did the Bailey Olympics and Cynthia had the lowest score in the twerking contest.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
Was it because she has the biggest ass? She has a lot more
big,
to like.
Having a big ass does not mean, let me tell you, having a big ass does not mean that you will be able to twerk. Well, Cynthia just doesn't know how to move. Mm. Some people just don't know how to move. And Cynthia, for all her beauty and grace, is awkward in the body when it comes to dancing like that. So, and we saw that that happened when they did a twerk contest on Atlanta. So I knew she wasn't going to win. They did it at a Bailey Q. And I was like, ooh, if I was a black person who danced like that, you would never see my ass dancing.
America collectively went, ooh.
And it was led by Quinn with that boom mic. Not boom mic, but what's that called? Like that meme.
The bullhorn.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Boom, bang,
yeah, same thing. Either one was in Whitney's living room when she was covered in mud and getting
but spent. Even Noelle told her. She told her when she went to Big Brother, she was like, you'll be fine as long as you don't have to do anything physical.
Yeah. Well, Noelle was wrong. She was not fine at anything. Cynthia was awful in Big Brother.
I didn't watch.
Oh, God. You didn't miss a damn thing, Diana.
Okay.
She was awful, and then she voted for Tigris. She literally did everything wrong all the way through. Any decision was...
Oh, man.
Improperly made.
Yeah, whatever people should have been doing, Cynthia did the opposite the entire game. But okay. Yeah, God bless her. So we love end Cynthia. This love Salt Lake City episode with Lisa's Vita Tequila 80s/90s food court themed party. But that's not a theme party, she said.
No, and like nobody got dressed for the occasion. Like they all should have taken advice from the Bunko party from Orange County. Like that's what we wanted.
Yeah.
And they gave us like women's dress department in Neiman Marcus.
Well, she said she didn't want people to show up looking like Madonna. I was like, well, then what's the point?
Right.
Exactly.
Then why have a theme party? The only one that came like even remotely on theme, I think. Well, Jenny looked like she was an extra in Black Monday on Showtime. Yeah.
And she did not look like Whitney Houston.
When she said that, I said, who? Another
Black woman that couldn't dance. Whitney Houston.
I don't want to hear it.
It's good to know she wasn't good at everything.
Seth wore that Ronald Reagan shirt, so that's something.
Yeah, again, an effort was made,
but he bought that on Amazon, so that's not really
for sure.
Yeah. So Mary doesn't order Vita Tequila at this Vita Tequila event because she said it tastes like water, which this is when I was like, oh God, I really am going to miss Mary. This was the start of me realizing this was my last time seeing her on screen.
But also it's so funny she said that because meanwhile she's like judging like you smell like alcohol and then it's like, I'm not going to drink this alcohol because it's water. So it's like, which is it, Mary? Yeah.
She came in saying somebody smelled like hospital. She went out saying somebody smelled like alcohol.
Oh my God, you're right. A bookend. Bookend. We love to see it.
Very satisfying.
A callback, if you will.
I saw some discourse about Jenny throwing the glass. She threw that, I would say, at Mary. Like it was towards her feet, but she didn't aim it at her forehead or anything, but like she threw it at Mary.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. She's trying to backpedal here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's like, I threw it at the floor. It's like, okay, you drew it at the floor at Mary's general direction.
Right.
She had to do something. She couldn't drop the N-bomb. It was just festering at her. I was looking at it and I was like, I want to see if she's standing under her breath. I'm looking at her. I think she's thinking it. This is right when she's thinking it, right now. She wanted to.
What a mess.
It would have been terrible, but I kind of wish they would have just went ahead and let go. Just had a whole racial fight. She dropped the N-bomb. She called her all kinds of slant and all that stuff. Like, go for it. Why not? That's who they are.
Yeah. And it was their last episode anyway, so let them go out with a bang, I guess. But when Mary went down those steps saying, I don't even remember what she said, but she said like, oh, they got a lunatic on the loose.
And then my favorite though was, I know I'm skipping ahead, but when they did the title cards and it's Mary, she's just like, where did I park? Like, how appropriate.
Mary was done. She was not having her. She just, I don't think I've seen anybody so efficiently ignore somebody in a long time. And you know, it got to her. Jenny did not like being ignored. It was sweet.
She did it on that. Was that the first vacation she did it on too? When she started ignoring Jenny? Remember when she came down? She's like, I don't want to talk to this.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
She complimented Jenny. That didn't go well. And she decided to just ignore her from then on out.
Yeah.
Well, she thought she complimented her. She didn't compliment her, but she thought she did.
Yeah, she's been doing it ever since.
Yeah.
Ever since she was like, you won't take my, I don't know if I can call them microaggressions. I don't know what to call that she was doing that, doing the Jenny. But she was like, you don't like that? Then you won't get anything else from me.
I said it once. I said it twice. I'll say it a third time. I will miss Mary. And Bravo will never touch her again. But if she gets a spinoff on any kind of network, as long as it's not like, you know, I don't want to see her like just lead church services. I'm not going to sign up. But
you ain't going to watch her on TBN?
No, but if she has any other club. Yeah, I would watch
new movie. Yeah. Instead of the eyes of Tammy Faye, it's the wig of Mary Cosby.
I would watch it.
I like that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like huge money making idea.
Let's get Halle Berry to play her.
Oh my God. Like, oh, yes.
That would be And you know what? Halle Berry probably wouldn't do a good job, but she tried her best. And that would be good enough for me. It always
like
is.
In true Mary form. Because like it's even one step above Mary, because Mary doesn't try at all. So
it'd be quite a movie to write. Like, was she good to gay people? No. Did she lose everything? No, she's still getting people's mortgages. Did she get any kind of cancer? No, but her scents are like, her scent smell is like completely off the charts. It's such a...
And God, she's saying no.
No, because she sings no. No. Because I got to be honest, I didn't know much about Tammy Faye, but I was actually really surprised that she could really sing. I really didn't expect that.
Yeah, how about like that press conference? And she's like, I just have one thing to say. She like starts singing. I'm like, no, if she were still alive, this is a housewife like we would need.
Oh, yeah, she would have been a housewife.
I'm definitely so mad this movie didn't come out when she was still alive, because I didn't watch The Surreal Life when she was on it or anything. Like, I was not a Tammy Faye gay, but I would have been.
That's actually when I started liking her, when I saw how she was on The Surreal Life. I was like, oh, because I didn't know anything about
it. Now I need to go back and find it.
Yeah, I need to find it as well.
Yeah. We'll cover it on the Patreon, Diana.
I love it. Oh my God, I loved
it. It was so good. Janice Dickinson versus Omarosa. Like, there was so many.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. This is an iconic cast, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We do need to go back now.
Big name players, for sure.
Bravo, eat your heart out. So, the last thing about the party I want to discuss is Meredith's marriage is brought up again. And she kind of snaps. And she was like, I will tell everybody who everybody dated. Does she know anything? Or do you think she has to, right? What do you think?
Well, she has a private investigator.
Oh, true. Yeah. True.
Yeah, I think she knows something about Jen. I forgot who posted it. But someone posted something like during that scene, you can kind of see Jen shaking in her boots a little bit. And like, if you rewatch it and just look at Jen's reaction, like she kind of looks a little like timid.
Oh.
So I think she knows something about Jen, which would be a shame because Coach Shaw is like an angel.
Now, what, Quinn?
Okay, here's the thing. I want to like Coach Shaw. I mean, there's not a lot of Black housewives, especially on non-Black franchises. And of course, because of that, I'm on his side. But there's something about somebody who's so good with their words and so intelligent, but at the same time, completely in the dark about what his wife is doing. There's a lot about Coach Shaw that I don't trust, because I feel like he's very smart and I feel like he pretends to not be in convenient times. So that's my only thing. But he could not know what happened with her and him. But I can tell you one thing. If Donnie ever gets busted for what she's getting busted for, I'm going to lock the door and we're going to have a come to Jesus moment about everything that I don't know. What you stole, who you banged, everything on the table if I'm going to stay. And I feel like that's something that probably happened between them, but I don't know.
Hear that, Donnie?
I did hear that. I need to delete it from this podcast so nobody else hears it. So we mentioned it briefly, but what do you think is the future of Salt Lake? I personally would rather watch, especially if Jen goes to jail, I'd rather watch the show about the people that are no longer with us besides Jenny. But like, I'd rather watch a show about Mary and Jen than about the women that are still there. Very much like Sex and the City. Like, I would have rather watched a Samantha show than those other three. But yeah, so I don't know how it's going to work out.
I agree with that, especially just because, even trial aside, like, let's pretend this didn't happen. Jen was just always the big name. Like, she brought the drama on the show, even though very polarizing. I didn't like her because I thought she was too over the top and like acting. But still, she made the show interesting. Now that they're filming and her trial's literally in less than a month, obviously they can't bring cameras in the courtroom, but it's definitely going to be interesting to see how much they can and can't say on TV with all that. So I think we will get a very satisfying season 3, and then season 4 is going to be up in the air.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
As far as the future of it, if they're not going to bring anybody new in, I'm going to say something which I think I've said before. I love the idea that they're doing Ultimate Girls Trip, or that they're doing All Stars. I think that's a great thing, but I also think there should be some kind of like summer house deal where you can take these housewives that you can't do anything with because our franchises suck, and just put them in like some, whether it's like some kind of house every, because I don't want it to change like All Stars. I want All Stars to change, but I want like a recurring cast of housewives that can go kind of like the surreal life, I guess. And we can do some with them because like there were people, it's like you get these franchises and they're great and then they go to shit. And then you have these great nuggets of gold you can't do anything with because one lives over here and one lives over there and you can't do anything with them. And I think if they put them together, it could work. I think they should like shift through all the bull crap of Salt Lake City, Dallas, OC, and just put something together that fits. Other than that, I think they can just shutter Salt Lake City altogether.
That would be fun. It would also be fun to see like little spinoffs of things that like these housewives are good. So like, say, like you mentioned like Dallas, OC, and Salt Lake City. So we know that Tiffany Moon has like a really impressive closet. It would be so cool if they had like different episodes where they focus on one wife and like something she's really good at. Like she styles someone for the day or something like that.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, I think that would be a good thing too.
Yeah,
I'd watch or like that. Someone brought up, I think it was Nimade on my podcast brought up that she would like to see Tom Sandoval as a party planner. Was it her? I don't remember who it was, but yeah, I feel like that would be an interesting show too.
Basically, we need a shakeup. That's, we're all saying the same thing and actually it's kind of the same words. We need, Bravo needs a shakeup.
We should work for Bravo.
We should. We should. Because they certainly don't answer my DMs. Checks, so let us jump over to Jersey with the time remaining that we have together. The beginning of this episode is part two of Jackie and Dolores' fight. And they're talking about how Jennifer... they're talking about how Jackie said that Jennifer was a bad friend. No, they're talking about how, yeah, they're talking about how Jackie said Dolores was a bad friend to Jennifer. Who is in the wrong in this situation? What is happening?
Jennifer Aiden.
You think?
Oh, I mean, in general, yeah. This is all,
well, in general.
Yeah, this is all based on like everybody's like, who's a good friend to this woman who's been a monster to like everybody? Mm. And I love Jennifer.
So you think it doesn't matter if Dolores is a bad friend because Jennifer's not a good person?
I don't. Not that I don't think she's a good person, but I think she's done too much to be sitting up and nickel and dime and who's great, who's been good at doing this. Like, you don't have a leg to stand on here. You've been too shitty to everybody. With the exception of, I guess, Dolores and Teresa, but still.
That's why I kind of hurt for Jennifer in this situation, because she obviously gravitated the most towards Teresa and Dolores. Mm-hmm. And with how Dolores is handling this whole situation, it's kind of a slap in the face. It's like when you learn that you have one friend who's not really the friend that you think they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I always thought that Dolores played both sides, kind of. And I always like praised her for that, because it's very clearly Jackie, Melissa and Margaret, and then Teresa and Jennifer, and like that's how the couches align too at the reunions. Like, it's always that way. But then Dolores, I feel like depending on what the fight is about, she'll go back and forth or not take sides or whatever. And I always said like, oh wow, she actually is what makes the dynamic work, because if it was always just like group A fighting with group B, it would get stale. But Dolores is a wild card. But like, seeing it from this angle, it made me see the bad side of it. Like, oh, but there are people that consider Dolores a friend, and like, she clearly isn't.
And not only that, so Dolores, yes, she can play both sides of the fence, but it's very clear that she's never been close with Jackie. Mm-hmm. So that's where this whole thing comes in. It's kind of like they're, Jackie and Dolores are using Jennifer to fight with one another in a way.
It's like a divorce.
I think it's smart that Jennifer aligned herself with power, because that's what she did. She aligned herself with the heavy hitters, and I think that that's cool. And she decided those are going to be the people she wasn't going to like cross, and that's cool. But I do think it's really hard to feel bad for Jennifer. I mean, feel bad for her, because I do agree with the her being cheated on. She should have been more sensitive to what was going on with Jackie and not stirring the pot like she did. Like, I just feel like, even though I still like Jennifer, I do, but it's like, it's hard for me to, like, even with my friends, like, I can be your friend and be like, you're getting what you deserve and still be cool with them. And that's kind of like the way I feel about this. You're getting what you deserve. I hope it's not too bad, but take your lumps and maybe you'll learn something and, you know, keep that shit away from me.
My only beef with Margaret outing this secret is that there are kids involved. I had mentioned this on my podcast. Like, if there were no kids involved, I'd be like, hell yeah, you deserve this. But now Margaret has permanently changed their kids, or Jackie, Jennifer, and Bill's kids' view of their father. Like, that cannot be undone. So that's my only... that's the only reason where I'm like, this is a step worse than what Jennifer did to Margaret.
And what Teresa did to Jackie, I think. Because yes, even though there were kids involved with Jackie, it was just a rumor. So then they can sit little Evan or whatever his name is down and say, like, no, she lied.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely, like, if we had to rank a hierarchy of cheating, right, which is terrible, I would say... Jennifer's situation is the worst, then followed by Jackie's situation because, like, there were still kids involved, but it was false. And then Marge, because, like, it's still shitty to talk about someone else's business.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, no kids. I don't know.
I do think kids make it a different, it does hit different with children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
And what I found interesting that we found out in this scene, not really found out, but Jennifer said she's afraid of what Bill's family will think of her now, because they'll say, like, oh, you weren't having sex with him enough, or oh, you weren't pleasing him. And that part of the conversation allowed Margaret and Jennifer to disagree on, like, what a wife should be and how a woman should think of themselves and think of, like, place themselves in the world, because those two, that is their biggest difference, is they are different side of, like, what a feminist is. And Quinn says that all of the time. And I feel like this discussion just opened that up once more. Like, oh, here's how different these women are again.
I do think it's a different thing. And it's like, you know, like, you can say, like, oh, Jennifer was just like, it was an arranged marriage. She just used being married to do this and be with this man. Okay. Margaret was free. And she talked about sleeping with her boss, and that got her certain things. Some of it didn't seem like Me Too. I don't know. I think part of her story was, but some of it seemed like she was consensual with it and cool with it. So it's like, so at what point is that not you owning your femininity and doing what you want to get whatever? So it's like, I do think they're very much diametrically opposed. And it's, you know, it's an age old thing that women have been going through since the women's movement. It's much like with Black people, the worst people to your cause are your own people. So, well, not the worst, but, you know, I mean, they do cause a hindrance to you. Men, of course, and white men in general are the worst ones. But yeah, it's women who go against women's rights and all that stuff. And it's the Black people, like, what's her name? Candace, what's her face and stuff, who are bad for the Black cause. That's just the way it is. So I think there's something for them to learn from each other, but I don't think they ever will.
I do think that when Jennifer explained it, I do think there was, like, an ounce of compassion from Margaret. Like, cause you heard her. So she's like, oh, I don't remember how she said it, but to the effect of, like, I feel bad that she thinks it's her fault. Like, you could tell that's where her emotion was going. So maybe that's why at that point she, like, decided to back off and come off this whole thing.
I'm laughing because, like, you kind of sound like Margaret. So, like, that's always funny to me. Like, your accent is, like, very...
Thank you.
So funny. When you start, like, talking like her, you kind of slip into it a little bit, and it's funny.
I should be on the Jersey cast.
You should be.
I have to move back, though.
Who wants to do that? Those
winters. Just while they film. Yeah, just while they film.
That's
and
true.
And then, like, the film is done. Peace out.
Yeah.
Snowbird.
The next scene, then, we move on to Jackie, who is actively seeking treatment for her eating issues. And again, I am glad we don't get the storyline. We get them sometimes on these shows, but I feel like Jackie is really diving in and letting us in. And I think it is important to see on these shows.
Yeah. How vulnerable is it to bring a camera crew into a consultation for an eating disorder treatment facility? And then on top of that, to find out you have an underlying health condition.
Right.
Like, it doesn't get any more raw than that.
Yeah. And Jackie seemed so like down for it. You know what I mean? She didn't seem nervous. She just seemed like, I'm here. This is what I want to showcase. She was fine with that. Who was nervous? I do want to point out, because it made me laugh, the woman working there, her neck and face was so fucking red. She was so nervous every time they showed her. Like, it started on her neck, and then as every time the camera went, it went all the way up to her forehead. I was like,
that's because it's like she a scary said movie. I didn't want to be on camera. That's why I'm a therapist. She was like, I didn't want to perform, that's why I'm a therapist. And then somebody probably said, this will be great for your business if you do it. And she decided to do it, and I think she was nervous as hell.
Somebody get her water, please.
Could you open a window? She gotta be hot.
Yeah, it's just the camera cuts back and she gets redder and redder.
Redder and redder. It was so funny. It was so funny.
I was getting angry when they kept the camera on Jackie too long. I was like, I want to see the red lady. Yeah, I want to see this lady's skin.
Do y'all remember that old episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch where Melissa Joan Hart, like, Sabrina farts in class and then like her face magically turns red and she can't get rid of it?
You know,
that's exactly what she looked like. That's exactly what that woman looked like. And I just could not stop thinking about that.
I'm going to do a side-by-side on Instagram.
You should.
But it's like, I do think it's brave that Jackie did that, because like, as I've studied mental health, what she's dealing with, her eating disorder, is very difficult. And the mortality rate for that is very high. And to see how Jackie has been dealing with it all these years, like, she's a success case. And it doesn't look like she is, but she is a success case. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that lets you know how pervasive and how difficult this has been for her. I give her the utmost respect, not just for showing it and bringing attention to it on TV, but just for the fact that she got to where she is. She's at this, because a lot of these women don't even make it to her age. Like, so many things go wrong. So like, Jackie has a lot more chops than I gave her credit for in the first season.
Yes,
100%.
Absolutely.
And being able to like stand up against Dolores impressed the hell out of me too.
Yeah.
Because Dolores would kind of scare me.
And then to know it's still actively coming from her father. Remember? I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but when he like made her watch the video of her in high school and she's like, I don't want to see this. And he was like, oh, you're not fat anymore.
It's hard because it's like, obviously, when you have an eating disorder like that, it had to start from somewhere. And we can clearly see that, like, there was pressures from the family. And I'm sure kids at school were mean. And to, like, when you grow up in a traditional family, like, it's just, it's hard, you know? And, like, they're pushing these certain values on you and you need to look a certain way. And, like, I give her credit for coming on TV and admitting this, because she easily could have not shared any of this with us and we would have been none the wiser. So it takes a lot of strength to come on and having kids through it all too, and recognizing and admitting that now your kids are picking up on this, that's gotta be hard. It really has to be hard, because then you have to question, you're like, okay, like, how is this affecting my parenting and what my kids are now thinking in the future? Like, I don't want to have the impact on them that my parents did, so we need to do something about it.
Lots of praise. All I have is praise for her, and I hated her last.
No, same. I'm with you.
And I hate her. She was, like, unraveling, and I was like, that's what you get, and all this stuff. And like, no, I was wrong, and now I feel terrible, and I'm happy that she's bounced back, and she's doing... You know, she's doing her second season thing that Housewives.
This is her third.
Well, I hated her the first two.
So. They blend together.
They blended together for me. I forgot that this was her third, but.
That's funny. I hated her first two then.
I did. Like, I hated her first two. I just,
no,
she
same.
Came on and I hated her. Her second season, I hated her even more. And now I fuck with Jackie. I do.
Third season's a charm.
I'm all about her. My Jewish queen.
So I do want to talk about the Catania house, because that, I don't know what the fuck's happening in that house. Frank Sr. is moving in with the kids, but he's not allowed to have women over. So then he's like talking about why that's the rule, and Gabby's boyfriend's over or whatever. And she's like, yeah, but we're quiet or whatever. Like, it was just very uncomfortable for me the whole time. My face was red like that doctor. And then it got even worse when Frank Sr. was like, well, maybe your boyfriend doesn't satisfy you the way I satisfy women. Why?
What a weird thing for your father to say, even though it's probably true. It's a weird thing for him to say. And it's also weird to me, like, they never lived together. Like, every time I hear this story, I'm like, do you know, I was something like, do you know how messed up things had to be, how done she had to be to divorce him while pregnant? Anytime you see a woman who divorces her husband while she's still pregnant, some shit is wrong. And I had no idea. I thought that they were together until the kids were like in their early teens or whatever. And that's why he was always around. They haven't been. This is another reason why they call her the black one. This is the kind of stuff that black divorced people do, where you've been divorced for years and you almost can't even tell, because he's always around. He's always staying with you. He's always around you. It's a very weird thing for me to see them do, not being black.
I feel like their dynamic comes from, so obviously it was very weird that they came in and he's like, your boyfriend doesn't satisfy you. So it's twofold. So being from Jersey, like, I feel like some parents, some Italian families, you either have the dynamic like my family where it's like super traditional and conservative in values and whatever, like, you know, oh, the proper way, like, don't do this, we don't talk about this, like, yeah. Sex life is off the table. And then you have the extreme opposite where it's like, yeah, Vinny, like, I fucked her and like high five, like, you know, like, so I feel like there's that dynamic. And then also, I don't want to say that Frank Sr. is more of a friend than a father to them, because as you pointed out, Quinn, he has been in their lives, but also, like, they haven't been a full family unit. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm sure that plays into the non-traditional aspect of this family and what conversation topics are, you know?
And you know what's weird? I knew last episode that she left him when she was pregnant, but it's weird that she left him when she was pregnant and then still named him Frank Jr.
I know. That's such an Italian thing. I'm wondering if it was also the grandfather's name.
Okay.
It might be her grandfather's name.
Yeah. I mean, Frank, John, Vinny, Joseph, Anthony, like, you had five choices.
Pretty much. I mean, it's not like she's a black woman. She could just name she could have named him after a car or something.
I'm not allowed to laugh at that, especially during Black History Month. So I'm moving on. You tell that joke to the audience, not to us. Okay, you're not gonna catch us. I'll have to go and do a poem on Twitter to get forgiveness. If I was your mother, Quinn.
Don't let my mother hear that. She'd be like, "What? And what did I do wrong? Yeah, deal with that."
I want to live with deal you with guys.
That. No, you don't.
You can take Donnie's place.
Oh my God. If I was your daughter.
Me and Donnie talk about having kids too. Like, we can't really afford to have a kid, but we could use the help around the house.
All right, that's me. Say no more.
All right, we'll adopt you. So Dolores tells Frank and the kids that this is the end of the road for Dolores and David. We already knew that as an audience, but did you watch What Happens Live this week, where she said that it's rumored that David is dating Louie's ex?
Yeah. What? It's giving Danielle Staub writes a song vibes. Like, so thirsty.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Love it. It's messy in such a delicious way. It's like they... It almost sets up where, like, we kind of have to see them again. Like, they have to be invited to something.
Yeah.
As a couple. It's like, how could that not happen? I mean, how could it not? Because I'm assuming this is Louis' ex-wife, right?
I don't know. Is this who he went to warrior camp for?
I don't know. I'm trying to
find... If this is who he went to warrior camp for, then she definitely needs to come on.
Right. Someone needs to bring her. Yeah, someone needs to bring her out, like the cookie lady.
Also, can we look at this picture that I know the listeners can't see, but like for everyone at home playing along, it's like their faces are smushed together. Like it looks so forced. She's got like the cheesy grin on, and he's like, ugh. Like, I give it a month tops.
Yeah.
He looks so devoid of any kind of human passion or emotion. It's so strange,
right,
to me. Like, even that picture, the faces pressed against each other. Like, it seems like, to me, I feel like for her, it's like putting her face against a toilet.
Oh, David Bedore of New Jersey.
It just seems like his face will just be cold. Like,
yeah.
He's as white as a toilet seat, so it'll. I'll take powder. The similar. Yeah, Casper.
I won't say that. It's racist if I say
it. You're not allowed to. Quinn has a habit of... Quinn has a habit of telling white people they look pale. And I say, you cannot do that.
Oh, I did it once. God. I didn't know that you couldn't tell them that they look pale. I thought it was a good thing.
You did it once when? At our wedding.
Oh.
Guests came up to say hi to him and you said, what's wrong? You look pale.
I didn't know.
Anyway. So, but maybe they should have went to the Jersey Shore like this cast did. So was that a good transition? So
I can recommend a tanning salon for them.
I was young. I was still in my 20s. I had no filter.
I think you'd still say it now, maybe.
No, I would not. And I will never tell a white person they look tired. I've learned those.
I taught you well. So at the Jersey Shore, there are two like beginning of fights that's happened. First, I want to talk about Dolores tells Jennifer that Jackie said Bill shouldn't have stuffed his dick in somebody else. And then Dolores got really Italian during this scene. She's like, your friend over there? Yes. Want to know what he said at your party?
That just sounded like something my mom would say. Also, I do want to say shout out Jenks Club, because like if you are from Jersey, like you go to Jenks during the summer. That's what's up. So every time they go there, like my heart warms up a little bit. But also like that fight, Dolores relayed the information incorrectly. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if she did that purposely to stir up some drama between Jackie and Jennifer. But it wasn't that like she didn't care about the situation. He shouldn't have stuck his dick in someone else. It was like, I feel bad for Jennifer. I don't feel bad for Bill. Mm-hmm. Now, it was vulgar nonetheless, but that context, in my humble opinion, matters.
And I wonder if she'll get the chance to give it. Jackie, I mean. Or if Jennifer is just like gonna be a level 10 and Jackie won't even get a chance to explain herself.
We'll go see. Either way.
Yeah. And then the last little bit that happens, the other big fight that's about to brew, is Margaret is, and everybody kind of, is talking about Louis's video some more. Some more things came out. Margaret says his past is a little bizarre and he does a lot to shut it down. So what does that say? So Louis calls Teresa and says he doesn't want to come. And she says that she's mic'd, so she can't talk about it right now. And then you hear her, oh, it gave me the chills just thinking about it. He says, turn it off. So then she texts Melissa and she's like, Louis doesn't want to come. Don't be mean to him if he shows up, whatever. And then the producer comes and tells Teresa, like, he needs to come. And Teresa flips out, gives fuck you to everybody, says Louis's not the one on the show.
Can't sign up for this.
She said that he was the love of her life. Now, don't get me wrong, but I feel like you have 4 children and spent, what, over 20 years with a man. I think this is a little early to be saying this man is the love of your life. In my opinion, I can't speak for Trey, but I thought that was a bit extreme to say. So I don't know. I'm very scared for her in this relationship. This has all the housewives warning signs of this going in a very bad way.
And it's public knowledge that Louis watched Jersey with his ex-girlfriend or wife or whatever. So like, I feel 100% like he's Spencer Pratt-ing her. I feel like he
maybe
saw...
that's why she's dating David now.
Maybe.
She's Spencer Pratt-ed Spencer Pratt.
So that's Stephanie Pratt?
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. By the communicative theory of Pratt's.
Yeah. Or is David's? David is Stephanie then, right? No, I don't know who's who now.
I love this for us.
Yeah, this analogy got away from us. It's an analogy.
I love Jennifer in the confessional. Oh, she said that? And like she was like talking to herself. It was so, oh, it was great. I was like, you should do all your confessionals that way. It's like performance art. It's like call and response, but with herself.
Like those awkward family photos, like you would see her like picture one way and then like her in the other way and then just have them like mm-hmm. talk to each other. Come on, we should be editors.
She's trying to be my friend.
See, yet again, saying? Bravo needs to call us.
They're missing out.
I don't know how that woman is so Jersey and she wasn't born there. But Jennifer is very Jersey. I don't know if it's something in the water.
It's kind of like you go there and it becomes you, you know?
It's like when I record alone with Kendrick, by the end of the episode, I'm like, howdy y'all, have a good week.
Every time I hear Kendrick, when you're recording him, I'm like, he sounds so country. It's just like I come from people that sound like them. Like, he is so country.
I didn't even realize someone left a review that said that. They're like, every time Donnie records with just Kendrick, he sounds so Southern. So then I was like, oh my God, would you look at that? Yeehaw, I do. Like
that. You know who has no Southern ancestry at all? Donald Hatfield. His family, he has one side of his family is like the most WASPy people you could ever have met. Who basically came from Ireland and landed in Philadelphia. And then the other side is like Italian people who did the same. Oh, except for his English grandfather. There is no Southern history with him whatsoever.
Oh my God.
So wait, where does this accent come from?
I have no idea. I think good question. I think I just steal it from Kendrick. Like I'm
you Dorit?
Yeah, I am Dorit. But anyway, I was saying I understand how Jennifer can get Jersey just from being there. That's we took a turn. Just when gave my 23andMe publicly.
I'm just saying, I'm sitting here as a person whose only one grandparent was from the North, the white one. The other three were from North Carolina, Alabama, and like Mississippi. So it's like, literally, what are you doing?
No, but sometimes you sound country.
I have like, you know, passed down country. Like your grandparents speak some kind of country, your parent picks it up a little bit, and you get it like third hand.
I get it. All right. On that note, any final thoughts?
I don't have any country relatives either.
The name was a dead giveaway, Diana.
Darn.
My final thoughts for the whole, like, I forget. How do we used to do this?
Either one.
Okay, my final thought is for New Jersey. I'm going to double down on what I said about Jackie. I think Jackie is a lot more than I gave her credit for. She's really evolved into something that I like to see on TV. And I'm interested to see how this goes further for her.
My legitimate final thoughts. I'm really excited for next week's episode of New Jersey because, I mean, we know Teresa can do a breakdown and she's going to serve. Mm.
She always does.
And my final thought is I will follow Mary Cosby to the ends of the earth. Any show she does next, I will be in the audience for. I just will not be in the congregation at her church. But truly anything else, any other project she wants to sign on, I'll listen to the Mary Cosby podcast. Know that. So with that, Diana, please let everyone know where they can find you, where they can listen to you.
All right. You can find me on TikTok and Instagram at Diana Jebbia, G-E-B-B-I-A. I'm going to be spelling that until the day I get married. And you can also listen to the Believe in Bravo Besties podcast anywhere you find your damn podcasts.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I just want to hug you both.
Well, you're our daughter now. Come on. If you were our daughter, hug us.
Dads, if I was your daughter, I would draw you pictures that were mediocre and you'd still hang them on the fridge anyway.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you later. Bye.
See you.